Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Connection. We hope that you and your family and your loved ones are doing well, staying well. It really is just an unprecedented time, not only here in Connecticut, but across our country. And I think we're all doing our best to just keep our heads above water at this point. I am Ann Baldwin, one of your hosts, and Lisa DeMattis-Lepore is with me, the president and CEO of The Connection, which is a nonprofit.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're a nonprofit service organization. And, you know, someone said this a long time ago, and I don't remember whom. It's not my original thought, which most aren't. But someone said, in every problem, there's a blessing. And I got to witness a blessing, Lisa, on behalf of The Connection with Beth Connor earlier this week when we went to Porter and Chester Institute, because all of their students, they have a very large nursing and healthcare program across their campuses, and all their students are, you know, distance learning, like most are, and they were nice enough to donate some essential equipment and devices to The Connection. So talk a little bit about that and what these acts of kindness mean to an organization like yours and to all organizations that are getting so much support right now.
Well, of course, I want to, you know, send a shout out to Porter and Chester. Thank you so much for your very generous donations of gloves, masks, the N95 masks, and gowns, of course, for our staff. And, you know, the outpouring of amazing humanity, whether it's on social media or my friends or, you know, the United Way, or other folks, you know, contacting us about what type of, you know, supplies do we need right now for our staff and our clients. But of course, our staff that are, you know, tirelessly working and dedicated in our residential, 24-hour a day program, where clients that we serve are at high risk of potentially contracting, you know, COVID. And just the outpouring is so amazing. A good friend of mine lives in Massachusetts, and she's working from home right now, and she's in the process of making 60, you know, masks for us right now, and she'll be sending those. But, you know, all kinds of folks are just really reaching out. So I'm so grateful.
I think if one thing has come out of this so far, hopefully we're a little more sensitive, you know, to each other. We're a little more appreciative for what we do have. And we also, I think, realize how much we have to lose. So we've got a real celebrity on the show today.
We do. And I'm happy to say that Ray DeMattis is my uncle, and he's on live with us right now from New York City, and born and raised in Hamden, Connecticut, and has made an amazing career for himself, and it, you know, and he's been in New York City for over 50 years, and he's been on, you know, Grease, Broadway, Sopranos. He's done all these amazing things. I love him dearly. He's just, he's such a bright light in our lives. And so, with further ado, I want to say welcome Uncle Ray to the show.
Well, wow, thank you very much. That's a hard act to follow right there. It's very sweet. Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate it. And all my love goes right back to you.
Lisa mentioned that you grew up in Connecticut, but you've spent, you know, a lot of your life in New York City. And, you know, some of the sadder moments that I've seen are, you know, when Broadway went dark, when the theaters stopped running, mm-hmm. you know. And as an actor, yep. and someone who's made their living in the city and doing what you do, I mean, what's your reaction to what's been happening?
You know, I've seen, you know, I was there with polio in the 50s, you know, in Vietnam in the 60s, and AIDS and HIV in the 70s and 80s. And the only thing to really compare it to in New York City was 9/11. But the thing about 9/11, of course, was that it was obviously very focused and very unique situation, and it took us time to recover from that. This is all of us. So it's, you know, a couple star friends of mine, people who are, you know, have been hit with this thing. And a lot of actors are my friends, everybody's fighting. Yes, it's a very physical business when you perform, you know. So generally, you're in great shape, and it helps to get you through. And that, you know, if you're a singer, of course, your lungs, your diaphragm are strong. But when it comes with age, everything, as you know, starts to slow down. And so that's where you become the most vulnerable.
So if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Ray DeMattis, or as Lisa affectionately refers to him as Uncle Ray, which he is her uncle, and kind of giving us a really insider's look at what things are like, not only in New York City, but on Broadway and these treasured and cherished productions and shows that we've all come to know. Ray, you know, you said, and you made a really good point when you said that it's not only the people on the stage, but it's the people behind the scenes, but more importantly, it's the audience. And you wonder, when is the comfort level going to come back for people to go to a crowded place and sit literally right next to each other?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we have no clue how to fix it. Of course, if I may, I am due to work on a project that will be Broadway connected to open in November, and you know, this is going to be huge, and we're counting on it. And here we are sitting on something that's going to be an extraordinary, wonderful theatrical event, and you know, and here we all just sit and wait and say, well, okay, what is this going to be? A part of this is interesting, the timing of all of this. I was hired to direct Grease, the original version of Grease, by Pat Birch, who was the original choreographer of the original Grease and choreographed the movie Grease and directed Grease 2 and the movie. And she brought me on to direct this production. And it was supposed to be the off-Broadway showcase for the musical theater students at Marymount Manheim College. And I began working on this in November. And, you know, and it's a lot. It's huge. It's, you know, bringing all the designers in and the costume people and, you know, the casting, the actors, and beginning work on the music and the choreography. And we worked hard. We got the best cast possible with an extraordinary group of talented young people who are going to go on and have wonderful careers. Okay, we work, and here it comes. Oh, my God. And 2 weeks before we had our open off-Broadway, we had to cancel it all. And everyone was destroyed, absolutely destroyed, that it was, it come down to this. And so, there you go.
This was recent.
Oh, God, yeah, 2 weeks, like 3 weeks ago.
Because I know that you know, worked on the original Grease back in the day, back in the 70s.
In the 70s, yeah.
Wow.
And I've been very blessed, you know, I was entrusted with doing productions of Grease. I had, I'd done it a lot, and I'd work with people like Patrick Swayze and Richard Gere and John Travolta and Judy Kaye and, you know, I mean, amazing performers. We all began our career there because, of course, it was the only show at the time that was a showcase for young performers on Broadway. Everybody wanted to be in it. And so it was a remarkable, and a lot of talent, you know, passed through that. And what happened was I had studied directing, really. I didn't study acting, but I got hooked on this thing. How do you do this? How do you do this in front of an audience? And I kept going in that direction, and what can I tell you? I'm Italian. I sing. Anyway, you know, it helped, you know, in terms of, you know, having a career. But they entrusted me with it. And whenever there was a big national tour, they said, Ray, would you direct it? Because you will bring what we originally wanted, as opposed to all this other stuff that's been added and played against, and, you know, that kind of thing. So they wanted that thing, and that's what I've been doing over the years. And after all this time, to have this wonderful, incredible woman, Pat Birch, bring me in to say, I want Ray to direct this. And we brought in the original musical director, Louis St. Louis, who was the musical director for the movie and wrote the song Sandy, to kind of, you know, begin to look over this, so it would have an honesty to it, and it would bring it forward. And all of this work, all of these people, all of the meetings, done, over. And to announce this to the entire cast and watch all of these people in tears, myself included. You know, when 2001 happened, you know, the Broadway closed for, what, 2 or 3 days. And, that, you know, but now, when's it going to come back?
Right.
When are the audiences going to feel safe enough to sit next to one another with 1,300 people around them watching a musical cast of anywhere between, what, 10 and 40, you know, singing at them?
Right.
It's truly terrifying.
Hey, Lisa, it is very sad. A little birdie told me a story, and either I can tell it from the perspective of the little birdie, or I will let you tell it, and I'll give you a clue. All I really know is that you saw John Travolta in his underwear. Do you want to take it from there?
I did. I want to tell the story. You know when they do two truths and a lie? You know when they do two truths and a lie?
Yeah.
I always would put that in there because people would always think that was a lie, but it's the truth. So Uncle Ray, Uncle Ray, thank you for that moment. Besides taking me to Studio 54. Well, that's
except, of course,
story.
With the deal, I saw him in his underwear every night. We shared a dressing room. You know, why?
See, okay.
No big thing there.
Yeah. You
go ahead, Lisa, I'm sorry to interrupt.
In his underwear. No, it's all good. I'm sure you've seen other people in their underwear, too. We won't go, but this is not for today's show. But since you brought it up.
Well, 1,300 people a night on Broadway saw me in my underwear with that show.
Yes, they did. Because my uncle was the mooner there. Okay, so, all kidding aside, so my uncle, you know, this was like a big thrill, right? Your uncle's on Broadway, and, you know, you get to go behind stage and, you know, meet the actors and, you know, and you know, step on the stage. And so it's always, as a child, you know, exciting to go see him. So I was, you know, 15, 16, whatever. And, you know, my uncle sharing the dressing room with John Travolta, and there he is. I mean, he was in the height of his very handsome hunkiness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there he is in these little tiny bikini underwear. I was like, this is an extra bonus. Like, I didn't think I was going to see that, but I have to say, it was a moment. It is still etched in my mind.
You'll never forget it.
That's all I could say.
You know, when John, an extraordinary story there, you know, John had quit high school and because he'd been discovered by one of the most powerful managers in the business. And he said to his mother, if he wasn't on Broadway by the time he was 19, that he would go back to school. Well, sure enough, he did not play Danny Zuko at the time. He was playing Duty and, you know, a supporting character. And I remember, you know, in Jerry Zaks, a four-time Tony Award winner, a director, started out as Kinnicky, and he's about to open Mrs. Doubtfire. I hope he gets a chance to do that, the musical. And we were all standing together, and John said, you know, someday I'm going to play Danny Zuko. And we all looked at him and like, yeah, right, you go ahead. Sure enough, the rest, as they say, is history. Me, when I auditioned for the movie, they said, hey, we have to shoot you through linoleum to make you look like a teenager. So that, I had no hope.
Oh, this is such a cool perspective. And again, Ray DeMattis, who is Lisa DeMattis Lepore's uncle, is on with us, a longtime resident of New York City. What street do you live on, Ray?
I live on 96th Street. I'm very blessed. I live on the Upper West Side. I'm half a block from Central Park. So Central Park is my backyard,
so,
and I'm blessed to have it.
Well, what does it look like? What does it look like when you look out your window today?
I'll tell you, what's remarkable, what's really, really remarkable is, again, you know, 51 years I've experienced New York City, to see a crosstown bus empty, bus after bus, or to one or two people on it, and they have the passengers get on the bus through the rear door so that the driver, of course, all the drivers are gloved and masked. Then you see nobody going into the subway. Very scary, you know. And then experiencing major avenues like Broadway or you know, the avenue that's right down the corner from me, with no traffic, very little traffic on the street. you know, when in New York would you cross the street without having to worry about the walk and don't walk sign? You know, but I will tell you the most extraordinary thing that really moves me, because it's one of those New York things. After 9/11, everybody was watching out for everybody else. It made us aware of each other. All of a sudden, there was more than just you getting through the day. And what's happened here, you've probably heard this or seen it, but I'm a part of it. Every single night at 7 o'clock, when the medical workers switch, everybody on the street opens their windows and applauds and yells. And, of course, we got this is New York, so we got bugles, we got drums, we got people cheering every single night at 7 o'clock. It's one of those things, you have to be a part of it. You well up to it, and it makes you want to yell and clap louder. And it's fascinating stuff. And of course, I got to tell you this. Okay, real okay. So I have, you know, outside there is I face other buildings, you know, mourning dove has begun a nest. And here we have this hen mourning dove sitting on the nest for 3 weeks now. I mean, I'm not moving. And what you see is that thing of the life force in juxtaposition to what we are going through, that life goes on, that the eggs that she is nursing are going to hatch, that life will go on. So you have this little wonderful piece of nature reminding you that the force goes on. And it's and I get to watch it every day. I've never watched a bird thing, but you know, and it's one of those things. But the juxtaposition is really amazing. And as I said, you know, yeah. So much has changed.
Yeah, but you know, it's things like that that we maybe wouldn't have noticed that dove on the nest before this. Or if
you had,
it might have had a different meaning than it does today.
Exactly. And again, you'd be so busy with your own life, you go, yeah, do whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you go nest, yeah, I got to go to work, you know? Yeah, that kind of, yeah, it's truly, you're absolutely right about that.
So, Lisa, have you seen that?
What's it like?
Sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
No. What I wanted to say to Uncle Ray is, I know you're still, you know, getting out to do your power walk with your mask and all of that, but when you're out there, you know, it has to be so surreal to even be in the park, or, you know, what is it like trying to, you know, buy groceries or, you know, do anything of normalcy that you need to do right now to stay alive?
Well, what's interesting about you mentioned the walk in the park, and I've had to cut that down because, of course, I'm a man of a certain age and overdid it. My dog said, you know, would you sit down? You're not a jock. Anyway, you know, What's amazing is because I live uptown, it's less crowded, and people are very conscious of that 6 feet of separation. And, of course, anyone who has a brain is wearing a mask. And it's interesting to see who the people who are choosing to flaunt that. You know, it's obviously the younger crowd. Those of us around my age are clinging to life, you know, in terms of, you know, we can't have time to be, you know, arrogant here. Let's do what we're supposed to do. And the same thing with going marketing. There are lines outside the markets around the market. You must experience this too. And because, of course, real estate is what it is, the markets aren't as big as they would be in a suburban mall. And so consequently, they're letting in a few people at a time. And the Whole Foods, you know, has this thing about the seniors can go from, I don't know, 6 to 7 in the morning, although, you know, I don't see me buying it. A dozen eggs at 6 o'clock in the morning, but it's one of those things where you watch people respect that and respect each other about that. And everybody, you know, everybody, and of course, you cannot imagine. Now remember, think New York City, avenue after avenue, street after street, packed with shops and restaurants and all bars and all kinds of things, all closed down to walk and see. Everything is just shut, you know, and you know, it's okay. You go to the corner liquor store, okay? Is it open? Yeah, that's important. We got to have liquor stores open. But the owner of the store insists that to protect him and his workforce, you give the order outside the door, and they get it for you and bring it outside to you. And there are a few, you know, of course, all these restaurants are now takeout only, you know, and so you try to do that. Really, truly scary and remarkable, and it really does force you to focus on the moment, to be conscious of where you are.
Right. So we have a few minutes left. Again, Ray DeMattis, thank you for being here. Uncle Ray, to Lisa, and I wish you were my uncle. You sound like a real hoot. I bet we would have some fun. Let me tell you that.
Oh, he's so much fun. Oh, my God. Okay. He's so much fun. And listen, he has more energy, and this is crazy. The man does not look his age. He doesn't act his age. His friends are definitely not his age. He looks, he's not even on a one piece of medication, my uncle.
Wow.
I mean, he's like, he's in great shape, and he's so much fun.
That's what you call good genes, right?
Right.
Well, let's hope.
Yes, let's hope. But thank you so much for that. That's lovely, Lisa. Thank you.
We're going to take you up on that trip to New York City. Let me tell you, when this is all...
Oh, you got to do this.
Well, let's try to leave this this conversation on a positive note. We've got a couple of minutes left, so let me ask you, Ray DeMattis. I mean, what is your hope? And you know, I really admire your legacy. All that you've been through, but nothing like this. What do you see the future holds for all of us when this is over?
Well, again, my only reference to something like this was 9/11. And watching the recovery, New Yorkers will not give up because, of course, the people who come here and decide to build careers here, you got to know your stuff because you are among the best. It would be dangerous silly for you to come here and be in the arts and not be in top form, both physically, psychologically, and you know, with talent. Because again, what you're about is you come here to be serious. If you know are here, or you are born here, or you, this is what you do. So what I love is that everybody is fierce in their own way. Everyone, you know, neighbors and business people, and everybody is focused, because that's the only way not only to survive but to win. And that focus is not going away. It's getting sharper and sharper and sharper. And the fact that people are taking care of one another and are aware of one another. All my actor friends calling in and letting us know how they're doing, or, you know, and you constantly supporting, you know, things, you know, Facebook and all those things are letting us know and letting us, you know, stay in touch. Oh, again, what I want to see a turnaround, and I'm going to see a turnaround. Because there's no way it cannot turn around. Will it be awful making that climb that hill again? But you bet your patootie there are people who are going to be at that top when it's time.
Good. Let's leave it at that. Boy, those were some great words to end on. Well, Ray DeMattis, thank you so much. Lisa, thanks for making
sure. Thank
you. Thanks for getting him on our stage today, Lisa. We really
appreciate
it.
Thank you, Uncle Ray.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Be well, ladies.
I love you.
And wash your hands.
Yes.
Okay, love you.
Bye, Ray.
Bye.
Well, that was a great conversation, Lisa, and I think it's time now to say thank you to our listeners. We hope that you stay safe, stay calm, stay sane. We're in this together, right?
And we're fierce, like my uncle said, and we have to get through this, and we will get through this. It's not going to be easy, but we need to do it.
Absolutely. All right, my dear. Well, I'm sad you're not here in the studio with me, but we'll see you back here same time, same place next week on WTIC
News Talk 1080.